The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
My friends are degenerates, but I never change them. Liars, cheats, and hypocrites, not the time for saving.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
On ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also get us on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates975. You can text the show, and you can also watch us on Twitch and catch the conversations during the break when there's conversations. If you missed the first hour, very sportsy. A lot of Rockets, a little bit of Bucks. Even mentioned the Astros briefly.
Yeah.
Can I do my non-pedophile positive COVID-19 update of the day?
Please do.
Would you like to hear some good news?
I would.
This is the last 3 days, the totals of new cases in the Houston area only, because we don't care about anybody else, okay?
Right.
No offense, Belmont. We do care about you. It's just I don't have access to those numbers. So we're just doing Houston area only. 1,210 new cases yesterday, which is, this is the, over the last 3 days, 1,188, 1,116, and 1,210. That's the lowest three-day run since the 4th of July.
Okay.
Can we say that's a positive?
That is.
All right.
Are we cautiously optimistic? Or are we saying, well, Labor Day is about to happen?
Well, I mean, but the trend has been, you know, the red line. Like, I'll show you my chart here. It's not my chart. It's a medical center's chart.
Oh, it is going down.
But it's been going down significantly for a while. And, you know, yeah, am I worried about Labor Day a little bit? Maybe. But as long as people just keep doing what they're supposed to do, man, I think we'll get there. And, yeah, it's I just think I get tired of all the negative news, so that's why I'm here to try to give you good news when it happens.
Yep.
And I feel like that's good news. So apparently some guy who was mocking you this morning, I'm not going to say his name on air because he didn't deserve the run, but the guy who was supposed to fight you.
What about him?
He was on John and Lance this morning, apparently ripping you.
So, for what?
Just for gout and everything else.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I'm broken up about it.
Yeah.
White Magic, are you talking about?
Yeah, I wasn't going to say his name because he doesn't deserve
it. That guy's a pussy. we all remember what happened. He cowered. Like, he talked all that game, and then he cowered, and that's okay. Like, at least he's still thinking about me. I'm glad.
And somebody said he missed Lawyer Dave's number, 713-626-8900. I have that committed to memory. So there. So I was 15, lived in Baycliff, and was stoned also. Man, when I was 18, that was, yeah. And I remember at one point during the storm, my dad had to tell me to come inside because I went and sat on the porch with a shotgun, worried about looters during the middle of a hurricane. So I was pretty stoned. So, well, that's all the positive news I have.
Well, I mean,
I thought I had a second story, but I don't. So
that's all right. We can't have too much positive news in one day.
I know. Your Rockets won. That's a positive. The Astros won again today.
We got a bunch of positivity. All right.
Yeah, the COVID numbers are down.
Let's slow down. There's enough positivity flowing around this place.
Did Granato address the police chase Twitter account calling out Wendy?
Well,
I know he did on Twitter yesterday. I don't know if he did it on the air today.
I didn't listen. I
don't know if he did either. I hope he did. Hmm. We won't stand for that. And I hope everyone told him that I defended Wendy.
Yeah, so did I, because we said.
We all did.
Yeah, that's the only station that even had it. Why don't you call out those other people? Where's your helicopter, Channel 2? Hmm? Where's your mobile unit, Channel 11?
Right. Haters.
26 gets a pass because I was on there this week, so. But yeah.
But where was their helicopter?
Well, you know.
They used all their budget on a Fred Fowler appearance, and they couldn't afford the helicopter.
Not that expensive. I'm not that expensive. It's only like, you know, $80,000 an appearance. It's not that big a deal. 713-780-ESPN, your number 713-780-3776. Hey, did you see that Leonard Fournette has a new team?
Yeah, and I saw them say, well, Ronald Jones is still our guy. I don't know what to think of Leonard Fournette. I think he had, he was in a really bad situation last year. But it's obvious that he's not a guy that a lot of teams or a lot of coaches have a great opinion of. Otherwise, he wouldn't have made – he made it through waivers.
Yeah.
Like, nobody wanted to pay him $4 million a year.
Which, for a running back that's, you know, presumably a starter, that's a kind of a bargain these days.
Well, ask the Texans if that would be a bargain.
Yeah, well, that, I'm not counting them. But, hell, Carlos Hyde got like $5 million off of last year, right?
So the I would have assumed that they were like, okay, well, Leonard Fournette's going to plug in, be the number one back in Tampa. But they're saying it's still Ronald Jones, and they've still got LeSean McCoy sitting around too. And I don't think LeSean McCoy's an every down back anymore, or even he's a role player. But you know, he's still got at least some juice left in him, or otherwise, what'd you bring him in for? So the Bucs are they're making a push, man. And if Gronk is Gronk, like you know, if he's the old school and on the field Gronk. Maybe the Bucs are good. I still feel like the Bucs have a bunch of downfield weapons and don't have a downfield quarterback. Like Chris Godwin and Mike Evans, you're not going to ask those guys to do like, you know, 5-yard, you know, out routes and crossing pattern. That's not going to happen. And that's kind of what Tom Brady needs at this point. So I'm still not completely sold on him. And I also have questions about their defense. But they're going for it, man. They're going for it.
Apparently Granato did mention this morning and said Wendy told him to shut up. She's a big girl and she can handle it.
Yeah, but she didn't. She didn't get on Twitter and fight that guy.
Yeah, well, she's gotta be above that, man.
Apparently that guy had responded to Granato's thing on Twitter last night, and then the actual account went out and put a full apology out this morning.
Oh, really? What'd they say? Read the apology.
Yeah, get on there and find
it. This is a long one. My name is Akimi. And I am the owner director of social media of PCA Live. This afternoon, KTRK in Houston covered a police pursuit which suffered more blackouts than an alcoholic with epilepsy. Upon the conclusion,
this doesn't sound like an authentic apology.
No,
this sounds like gaslighting.
Let me skim this real quick to make sure it actually.
Yeah, you might want to read it before we go.
That doesn't sound like a real.
Well, it ends okay. From what I've learned, Wendy Granato is a hardworking professional that loves KTRK as if it was her own pride and joy. Hell, she has a job that I couldn't even dream of having and the honor doing. I understand she has no control over the technical issues at the station that contributed to today's poor coverage. Nobody forced me to apologize. If anything, most people didn't even think twice about it, but someone that knows her more than anyone took offense that got me thinking. Of course, I already knew I was out of line 30 minutes after signing off, but didn't think anybody who knew her personally would give a damn. So again, I apologize for my bleeping awful tweet, and I really hope that if she saw the tweet or was informed about it, that she blew it off and didn't give a rat's ass what some bleep running a small Twitter account has to say. If, however, it did bother her and she doesn't take this apology seriously, if she so wishes, I will gladly take a couple weeks off work, drive 1,300 miles to the station, bow down, and apologize to her, and allow her husband to punch me right in the face. So once again,
now we're
one
talking,
final
baby.
Time,
yeah.
Wendy Granato, I apologize, and I wish nothing but the best for you and KTRK for years and decades to come.
God, some people.
That's
just,
what I'm talking about.
Some people just ramble on. My goodness.
Oh, that was me editing the hell out of it, too.
Yeah, you could have gotten that out in 240 characters. Come on.
But he originally, when Granato responded, accused Granato of being sexist for thinking that it was wrong to insult a woman.
No, it was wrong to insult his wife.
Let's, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, 281 says, I'm tired of that white magic guy. He's constantly hating on the Blitz. Well, good for him.
I'm not worried about that guy.
Listen, if that's a way.
You know what that means? He's always tuning in to see why he hates us more and more.
Yeah.
I hated when AJ said this. Well, you dope. Quit listening, dummy. And like I said, I'm done with that dude. He's already proven what he is. We already know. Everyone knows.
Yeah, I just...
He tucked tail and he disappeared for 6 months the last time I went at him.
Some guys that, I mean, it makes their day that they're able to have something to hate. And, you know, that's what we're here for. If you enjoy the show, great. If you don't, if you just hate us or you feel like you need to make fun of us to make yourself feel better, go right ahead. We're good. We're absolutely good. I just want everybody to enjoy their life in whatever way they want to enjoy it.
Thank you.
And one way you
including
can,
me, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
For the most part, yeah. I mean, but, you know, one way you can do that is get that credit card debt in order and consolidate it with Lightstream. And maybe you had to run up your cards a little bit here during the Rona, and they've gotten a little bit out of control. Well, guess what? If you got good credit, here's a way to save a lot of money. I mean, you can save thousands depending on how much you have. Lightstream's fixed-rate credit card consolidation loans start at 5.95% APR with autopay and excellent credit. That's lower than the average credit card interest rate, which is over 19%. Some of them are a lot higher than that. You can get a loan anywhere from $5,000 to $100,000 with absolutely no fees. The application's 100% online. You can even get your money as soon as the day you apply. Lightstream really wants to take care of people with good credit. They think you deserve a great interest rate, no fees, and that's what they do. You could save even more with an additional interest rate discount. The only way to get this discount is to go to lightstream.com/Fred. That's LIGHTSTREAM.com/Fred. Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.50% autopay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Fred for more information.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. You know, can I complain about something?
Don't you always?
No, not really.
Yeah, okay. Kind of.
No, I mean, just I complain about having to work with you all the time. But other than that, I got no complaints. I used to read USA Today religiously, and their sports columnists have gotten to be the worst kind of hot take people. One of them yesterday wrote a story about what's one of my biggest complaints about what I think has become a complete cliche sports talk thing during this Rona? The asterisk, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Kentucky Derby winner, if he wins a Triple Crown, deserves an asterisk from some guy named Dan Wolkin. I'm like, really?
That doesn't even make sense. Like, at least with college football this year, and I want to ask Taylor McCarg about it. I want to get his thoughts on it as a dude who played college football. Like, it's worth noting that about half the teams aren't playing this year. So if there was going to ever be an asterisk season in my lifetime, this seems like for college football, it could be it. Kentucky Derby, it's just the race has been delayed.
Well, but he's talking about winning the Triple Crown because he's not going to do it in 5 weeks in the traditional fashion.
That doesn't matter.
And I would argue this was a hell of a lot harder because you have to stay in form for a lot. Well, he hasn't won it yet either. I mean, he's going to win Saturday. And he's also going to have to go against perhaps one of the best fillies we've seen in years in the Preakness. So, I mean, if he wins it, he's earned it. But that, and then today, Nancy Armour, who's also kind of my, in my box of hate when it comes to writers.
Right.
She's talking about the Kirk Cousins comments on COVID-19, danger to public health, not personal belief.
Who said that?
Nancy Armour.
Who's that?
She's a columnist for USA Today.
Listen, he said he wears a mask.
Yeah.
All he said was, I don't like wearing a mask, but I do it. When I was single and I was banging random chicks, I didn't like wearing a condom, but I did it because it was safe. Like, what's the big deal?
I don't like wearing a seatbelt, but I do it.
Yeah, because
it's safe.
Yeah, well, it gets back to what you were talking about yesterday with the people were grabbing these headlines and
that's
running.
That's
all
they
did, and that's exactly what she did because she quotes him and says that he wears the mask and he says you know, he doesn't like it, but he's adhering to NFL safety protocols. Says that's what it's all about, right? I want to be very respectful and considerate of everyone else. But how can he be when he's so steadfast in sowing the seeds of doubt?
Well, what's he supposed to? I mean,
what?
What do you do? Do you just
what
say
seeds of doubt? Like,
I love wearing a mask. Wearing a mask is fun. Hey, hooray! It's great. No, he just all he did was say the truth,
and he didn't say he doesn't believe it helps. In the interview, he had said, I don't like wearing a mask, but I'm going to wear it to keep everybody else safe. At no point did he go, I'm wearing a mask, because even though I don't think it's actually going to keep anybody protected.
And she kind of goes after his faith a little bit, too, and says, you know, there are plenty of other people whose faith is just as strong, whose belief in God's plan is just as certain, who have put their trust in science, which I think is kind of a cheap shot. And then she wraps it up with, if Cousins' feelings about COVID-19 impacted no one but himself, that would be fine. But they don't. There are 52 other players as well as Vikings coaches who are depending on him. He has small children who are modeling their behavior after him.
And guess what? He wears a mask.
Presenting his feelings about COVID-19 as an alternative view was not only selfish, it was reckless.
That lady sucks.
Oh, I know. Cousins says his beliefs are his own. It would have been better to keep them that way.
Well, God, someone asked him.
So awful.
That's funny. Next time that lady has to interview someone, I hope they like. Well, I do have feelings on the question you just asked me, but
I'm going to keep them to myself.
I'm going to keep them to myself because that's what you suggest people do.
Jerome corrected me. Apparently, he did say, I had missed it when I had read the actual interview part. He did say he doesn't believe that masks actually work.
But he wears them.
But he still wears it.
So who cares? I mean. Is that lady, and listen, I don't know if masks actually work. I like to assume they do. I will say, like the Boomer Naturals, that's got like extra stuff woven in. I believe that works.
Yeah, I can tell the difference when I wear mine.
I don't know if these like those little, the blue masks, like the blue and white.
Or the bandanas.
Or a bandana. I don't know if that's doing anything good because they're, I mean, let's face it, they're just covering your mouth. And I don't know if that's enough. Unless you've got like a specific kind of mask, I don't know what works because I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist. So if Kirk Cousins says he doesn't believe it does, then, oh, well, as long as he's doing what he's supposed to do. Like, honestly, Kirk Cousins is setting a good example. He's saying, listen, I don't buy this whole mask thing, but I get that it makes everyone else feel more comfortable. I get that this is the rule right now. So I just do it. What's the big deal?
Yeah. And they all run with the if I die thing. And
you know what? That dude's he's getting hit by 350-pound dudes running, 4.940s. He's got to think that every time he goes onto the field, if I die, I die. It's a good possibility.
Yeah.
All right?
Oh, and guy on Twitch, stop with the Gilpin whiskey. It ain't happening.
Yeah, you guys, it's not going to happen.
That is off limits. You guys quit suggesting it. It's never going to happen, period. End of discussion. Sorry. Jay Garza asked, the Cowboys just released Ha Ha Clinton Dix. Do you think that opens the door for Earl Thomas?
It could.
It could, yeah. I mean, that's one of those kind of under-the-radar signings that they did this year that I liked.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it didn't work out. But maybe so. I mean, I haven't heard anything on Earl Thomas, frankly, since he's been released.
Nope.
But speaking of quarterbacks dying, what are the odds Alex Smith dies on the field this year? That's mean.
Come on.
Yeah.
He's just got a hurt leg.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going to die.
If I'm him, I mean, I really admire the fact that he has come all the way back. I also think I'd get myself in that position and say, you know what? I'm good. I've had a good run. I think I'm going to go do something else. By the way, the Rona might kill the XFL twice.
Really?
Did you see who has
it? I saw
it?
The Rock got it.
The Rock and his whole family. Guess who just bought the XFL?
Yeah, but he's recovered.
Well.
From what I was reading.
I know, but you're one of those guys. Oh, he may never be the same guys.
Well, it's not like his money's never going to be. He's already spent the money.
Yeah, but you know what? If he gets it again and dies.
But, well, then I wouldn't have. I don't know what to say. Maybe he will. Yeah. I hope not.
But his whole family. I mean, that kind of makes sense if one of them's going to get it. But Fortunately, I don't think it's been too bad for him. So, I'm not a doctor. I don't know if the paper masks that doctors wear work. I only know that our sponsors are vital to survival.
No, those paper masks, that's not what doctors wear.
No, no. That's not what he's talking about. You guys.
I'm talking about the masks that you get for like a 10-pack for $8 at HEB. Like, those masks are masks that you put on because you have to go in the store. I don't know if they work, but I do know if you put one on, you're allowed in the store and everyone in the store feels better about it. But I don't know if it works. Kirk Cousins doesn't know if it works. Really, nobody knows if it works.
I mean, I think it does.
I like to think so, too. And you know me. The whole time I've said I'm a mask guy. I'm wearing a mask because it's not enough of an inconvenience for me to put up a stink about it. And apparently Kirk Cousins feels the same way. So whatever he believes, whether it works or not, why does that matter to anybody?
Because you can't be provocative if you don't go after the guy. I've always been pro-mask because it covers up an ugly-ass face.
That helps.
And, you know, I like that. I kind of, you know, try to look like an evil fat ninja. You know, it's kind of how these things work for me. So, 713-780-ESPN's Virginia button. You know, try to get my kids to wear duct tape masks. Oh, man.
Kids hate that.
But, you know, I have one of the regular boomer masks. I almost think I could do the show with that one because there's enough space.
Yeah.
And that's the first one I found like that. You know, but I prefer the neck gaiters. So.
I just want a mask that protects me. If I'm wearing a mask, I just want one that works. I don't really care about, like, the inconvenience of it because it's. A mask is, anytime you wear a mask, it's inconvenient. I remember being a little kid, I was looking for Halloween costumes that didn't require a mask because if you live in Texas and at Halloween, it's hot. It's not fun to be wearing a full head mask on Halloween. But I would usually do it because it's Halloween. You want that candy. Now, I don't really want to wear a mask all the time, but I'll do it because I don't want coronavirus. This isn't tough stuff, and this shouldn't be, like, controversial stuff.
Yeah, I don't think anything he said was that.
I didn't have a problem with it at all.
And I just...
And I'm, like I said, I'm a mask guy.
Well, I feel like... I've pointed out some stuff she's written before. She's just a total troll now, just looking for clicks. And congratulations, it worked, and you got talked about. Not in a good way, but...
God, I hate that lady.
Beerman Greg says, wife and I... got the Rona, but our kids tested negative. Yeah, I don't know how old The Rock's kids are.
I don't either. I know he's got a couple girls. I don't know
very
how old they
young,
are.
Very young, I think.
Mm. Okay.
A lot more kids getting this than we were led to believe at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
So, all right. Quick break. It is the Blitz.
Oh, Brad Powers on the other side.
Awesome. Be right back. Just always so puff guy. I'm that bad type, make your mama sad type, make your girlfriend mad type, might seduce your dad type. I'm the bad guy. Duh.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, and college football's back. So guess what that means? One of our favorite guys returns.
The finally, Brad Powers has come back to Houston. From BradPowersSports.com, Brad Powers joins us. Brad, how you doing, buddy?
Excellent. Good to hear you guys' voice on a wonderful opening Thursday night of college football.
It's almost like old times, isn't it?
It is, except for the fact that we were supposed to have maybe like 15 games tonight. So, and even the adjusted schedule, I mean, for the Big Ten for a six-day period, we were supposed to have the Buckeyes tonight playing Illinois, so it doesn't quite match up to what we were scheduled to have. But sure, what the hell? I mean, I bet both games tonight.
Well, a lot of people don't realize that or thought that maybe you stopped handicapping football when you left pregame. That's not necessarily the case. Just because they can't find you at pregame.com anymore doesn't mean that you're not still doing what you do. Tell people a little bit about your site.
Yeah, so I mean, I've always had a site, even in my pregame days. So, you know, I've had my own service, my own website, my own newsletter in particular, this will be the sixth football season that I have a newsletter. And basically, it gives you a write up on every single college and NFL game, top picks for the week. And, go to bradpowersports.com. You don't even have to pay for anything right now. Just check it out, download all the past issues for free. And then if you're interested in what you see and you like what you see, then you can sign up for the season. But you just check it out right now. Download some of those past issues. See what I'm all about. BradPowerSports.com.
Well, we're down to two games tonight. Well, at least two FBS lined games, I guess. And the first one is, I mean, you talk about making a big jump in the line. I guess that they decided the UAB line wasn't even close to enough. It goes from like 16.5, 17 up to over 21, I think, today. And obviously, I mean, UAB is the much better team. I expected UAB to crush them. But when I woke up to put my play in, it was up to 21, and I'm not interested in that. Why the big move towards UAB?
Well, I think, you know, when it comes to FBS versus FCS lines, especially early in the season, I mean, it's a much softer line. So it's not like it would be, you know, a 4 or 5 point move if it was an SEC game. Then that would, in my opinion, really raise some eyebrows. So I thought it was a soft line to start. I mean, I bet it at 14. Can you believe that I found that? I mean, when it broke yesterday, I couldn't believe that. I thought it would move towards 21. You know, my number on the game is 20 to 20 and a half ish, so the fact that I can find some 21 and a half, and even there were some 22s hit in the market at certain points this afternoon, I hedged a little bit on my initial UAB minus 14 bet and took a little bit back on Central Arkansas. It's moved just a little too much as far as I'm concerned. With my initial thought process, I watched Central Arkansas play. I get it. It's FCS football. You know, I didn't have necessarily high expectations, but man, their quarterback, you can say he was rusty, but when you're missing guys, wide open guys by 5-6 yards, I don't know if that's rust. And now he's taking on one of the better group of five defenses in the entire country. UAB is the best team in Conference USA, and they've been dynamite at home the last 3 years. They haven't lost a single home game. 18-0, and they're 14-3-1 against the number. So I really love my initial bet on UAB, but at the current, it's all about the number. At the current 21.5 number, I'd actually lean Central Arkansas.
And then the other matchup tonight is Southern Miss at South Alabama, and the thing that jumped out at me, you know, off the bat was I felt like the total was maybe a little bit too high. And it was up at, I got it today at 56. It's been kind of bouncing around, but when you look at this South Alabama quarterback who returns this year, this is a guy who he ended up running the ball on about 40% of his dropbacks last year. And he was running for like 3 yards a carry. So it's not like he was taking off and making these big plays. And when he does throw, it's dink and dunk, and Southern Miss is a dink and dunk offense. I don't see where the big plays are coming from, and the guy that was the best weapon for Southern Miss, their return guy, returned 3 kicks last year, Adams, he's out. I don't know if it's COVID or what, because they're not saying, but I'm assuming it is. I don't see where the explosiveness comes from. What do you think of that total?
I'm at 53. So I would certainly lean at the, you know, if you got 56, then certainly under would be the play at that specific number. And Adams, it isn't a COVID thing as far as, you know, he's just out for this game. He's out for the whole season. And in addition to that, not only Adams at wide receiver, but three legitimate defensive starters for Southern Miss also opted out of the entire season. And because of that, I jumped on South Alabama. Again, better number. A couple days ago, I bet it at 15. I still would lean that way even at 13. I don't necessarily love the trend lines for the Southern Miss program under their head coach, Jay Hobson. It's kind of felt underwhelming. And losing four key starters in the last seven to ten days, I just don't think it is a positive sign. At least, I know you're not wild about the South Alabama quarterback, but, you know, offensively they picked it up. I mean, he started the last four games. Desmond Trotter is his name. And the offense certainly picked up under him, including an outright upset over Arkansas State as a double-digit underdog in the season finale. I think this is Steve Campbell. He's the head coach for South Alabama. He's in his third year. This is his best team yet. I'd still lean South Alabama plus 13.
I think, South Alabama is on the list of teams that are returning the most starters in the country. They're up there. But they were awful last year. So when you look at returning starters, do you pay attention to, they're returning a lot of starters, but that was from a really awful team.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I think it really case-by-case basis, it really depends. Now, were they awful as juniors or were they awful because they got thrown in there as redshirt freshmen or true freshmen or true sophomores? And do you expect some improvement just with the age? So, again, it's going to be a case-by-case basis. I'll say this. I would much rather be on the very experienced teams just because of limited spring practice time and even limited contact as far as fall camp goes. So I would be much more adept to betting very experienced teams than inexperienced teams, at least early on this season.
Well, speaking of experienced teams, Arkansas State, well, listen, they're nothing. They're no great shakes last year. They were decent. You mentioned they did get upset in a pretty disappointing game, but they're returning a bunch of guys, at least on offense. They're returning a lot of guys. They've got some decent quarterback play. And Memphis is without arguably their best player, without Kenneth Gainwell. What do you think of this Arkansas State-Memphis line sitting at 19 right now?
Yeah, I bet Arkansas State specifically betted on Sunday when news was kind of breaking about Kenneth Gainwell opting out. And if you don't know who Kenneth Gainwell is, I mean, he's an All-American type of running back for Memphis. 2,000 plus yards from scrimmage last year, 1,400 rushing yards. He caught 51 passes out of the backfield. I mean, it's not Alabama, it's not Clemson. You just don't replace those guys at a place like Memphis. So significant loss, particularly being, 6 days out from a game for a guy to opt out. For that reason, I bet Arkansas State. And another reason I still lean with Arkansas State plus the 19 at the current number is you mentioned it. I mean, it's an Arkansas State offense that's going to be able to move the football in Memphis. Arkansas State's got two legitimate quarterbacks. The old adage of if you have two quarterbacks, you got none. That's not true with Arkansas State. They have two guys that are legitimate starters to all the, Sun Belt type players. And I think another mispricing for Arkansas State is, their defense, kind of took a hit. And I think Memphis is going to move the football. But one guy that they brought in about a month ago, and I don't think most of the market knows about this, even the guys who bet professionally, but they bring in a graduate transfer by the name of Justin Rice. He comes from Fresno State. Now you're going to say, hey, Brad, well, what's the big deal about that one? Except the fact Justin Rice was the preseason Mountain West Defensive Player of the Year coming back for the Mountain West Conference. For Arkansas State, a team that's pretty much depth shy on the defensive front seven, to get that type of player to opt in. I mean, he's probably, most defensive players aren't worth much, but I upgraded Arkansas State's defense by about a point there. Add it all up for me, I like the Red Wolves plus 19.
Texas State, SMU, and SMU, a team that started out real hot and then kind of disappointed down the stretch. Texas State was, I think, a disappointment overall last season, and it's been announced that a couple players have, I don't know if they tested positive, but they've got a couple players in quarantine, including Tyler Vitt, the quarterback who was, and I think a lot of people may realize last season Tyler Vitt was a starter and they stunk. But they, if I'm not mistaken, Texas State was planning on starting Brady McBride this year, the transfer from Memphis. They were planning on starting him anyway. So, and I've already seen the line move because of this announcement. So the line's moved to 22.5 now. is this just uneducated people maybe not being aware that that's not their starting quarterback anymore?
Yep, you are exactly right. I got so many texts. Well, we need to bet Texas State, you know, part of my betting group. I'm like, no, we don't. I already looked into it. I mean, it's all backups. And I think everyone's overreacting to the quarterback situation, the fact that he's been a two-year starter for the Bobcats the last couple of years. Number one, he wasn't very good to begin with, and not to knock the kid. It's just, you know, the reality. And the fact that, I mean, they just announced about a week ago, Brady McBride's going to be the starting quarterback for Texas State. That's why they, you know, they brought him in. So, again, the market shouldn't be moving right now. It did. I don't want to advertise it too strongly because, you know, maybe the market continues to move. You know, up until Saturday, maybe we get a 24 with Texas State. If that's the case, then I'll be on the Bobcats.
Well, let's talk about these service academies. It's tough for these guys to cover as favorites, yet they're both, you know, Army is favored, and they are a team that, you know, I think they're going to be okay. I'm not sure that they're going to be great. One of the things I was reading about was somebody was saying, I think Army, these service academies are better equipped to handle COVID because they're not going out and chasing tail and, you know, going to bars and things like that, like some of these other kids may be doing. So maybe they're less likely to be affected by COVID as the thing goes on. What do you think of Army in this opening matchup?
Well, I think that's certainly true. I mean, we haven't heard hardly any problems at the service academies as far as COVID. You know, testing positives, although they're pretty much not, you know, releasing information as much as some other programs. But I do think just from a discipline aspect, I don't worry as much about the service academies. I guess with both games involving the service academies this weekend, I don't have a strong play on either, at least at the current numbers. But what I am interested in is, you know, how does Middle Tennessee and BYU defend the option? Because both of those games were not on the schedule. In fact, both games didn't get on the schedule just until a couple of weeks ago. So it's not like they reserved any spring practice time to you know, practice against the option. Not like they were even scouting Army or Navy in the summer. So I'm a little concerned for the defenses of Middle Tennessee and BYU and how they defend the option. If you're asking me which one I kind of like more, if you can find still out there in the marketplace an Army -3, I disagree with the line move on Middle Tennessee in this one. Specifically, Middle Tennessee lost their top two running backs who opted out last week. I just don't see it. Middle Tennessee doesn't see anybody that runs anything like the option in Conference USA. I think Army's improved this year. Give me Army -3.
And then, you know, the BYU, their defense was, it doesn't look like it's going to be great. They're not a good stuff rate team. They're not necessarily great at stopping the run. But Navy's got a lot. They've got to replace Malcolm Perry, and he set the single season FBS record for rushing yards by a quarterback last year. That's a big thing to replace. And they're also replacing a bunch of offensive line. They're replacing their slot back. And then they've had a bunch of guys. The Navy defense they've got a bunch of guys who have either transferred or opted out. It seems like Navy is going to be going through some real growing pains too.
Certainly, and I get the original move. So when this line opened up a few days ago, actually at the end of last week, like last Friday, you know, I think it was a clear head fake by the professional bettors. So the original money came in and pushed the line to Navy -3, and then we've seen nothing but BYU money come in since. And I agree that taking BYU +3 was the play as far as this game goes. But now at the current number, now that BYU's favored, I'm just not wild about it, especially since all the money's poured in. What's happened? I mean, BYU lost their best offensive weapon, their tight end, Matt Bushman. Well, I think the top 5-10 tight end nationally, a legit playmaker for them, a three-year starter coming back. To lose that type of guy when you already lost your top three wide receivers, I mean, that's a big blow to that BYU offense. The number's about right now. I mean, I made it BYU 1, so at the current number, I just don't have a bet for that Labor Day night game. We'll see where the money comes in because, I mean, that's going to be the most bet game of the weekend, no question. Public won't bet until Monday night, so it'll be interesting to see. If the public's going to probably want to bet BYU. So if they drive it up to 3 or so, and maybe I'll take a little bit back on Navy.
Brad, one more before we let you go. I'm just kind of curious from your perspective. We were talking about you earlier in the week and how you watched all the spring games and all of that. How much is your preparation differed this year because you don't have all of those things that you usually have?
Excellent question. It's been a little tougher, and it's not like you've gotten as much out of the practice reports. I mean, practices have been relatively closed. You don't want a lot of media in there. I mean, just to prevent the spread of COVID-19. So yeah, I didn't wasn't awarded the opportunity as far as watching the spring game. So I can tell you what I did. I went back and rewatched a bunch of games from 2019. I mean, I watched Army Massachusetts, watched the whole game, every play, stuff like that I wouldn't do in past years. Just teams that I didn't really watch much of last year. Just started going back through the tape and watched last year's game to see if I could find somebody that played in a meaningless game and to see if I could get anything out of it.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting with the NFL too. This is the first year I can remember where I haven't been out to a couple Texans practices at least to know what's going on there or out to UH and all that. So I'm kind of curious to see how things go. But glad to have you back, buddy, and hopefully have a big year. And once again, guys, check him out at BradPowersSports.com, and I look forward to talking to you again next week.
All right, really appreciate you guys having me on. Take care. It's good hearing your voice again.
All right, that's Brad Powers. Follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Please don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5, we wear Boomer Naturals masks. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number.
Short segment here. We'll have Taylor McCarg on the other side. Let's talk to, who's this on the phone? Clyde? Hello, Clyde.
I want to get y'all theory. If the Rockets don't win this series, which I doubt, who they going to really get to coach the team? And over there on 610 and Kirby, what are they going to do with Bill O'Brien?
Nothing's going to happen with Bill O'Brien. I mean, barring some crazy 1-15 or something like that, I believe that nothing is going to happen. As far as who's going to coach the Rockets after D'Antoni goes away, I don't know. I mean, one of the people that crossed my mind the other day, and I was like, oh, it sort of makes sense, but sort of wouldn't make sense. Becky Hammond, like if you could get some of that Spurs mojo, but then I think, would that work here? I don't know. Tyronn Lue, I guess he was a guy that I heard his name. We've heard Jeff Van Gundy's name thrown about. Like, there's it could be one of any guys, but it's going to be someone who understands that this is James's team, and you got to figure it out with whatever he's got. And maybe Tyronn Lue is waiting for waiting for the opportunity to coach with Coach LeBron again. I don't know, but I've heard his name kicked around. There's a lot of possibilities. Mark Jackson, I've heard, which I think that'd be a terrible idea.
Yeah, I don't really have any thoughts on that until they're out. You know, let's let them at least have a couple days here where they can celebrate winning a series, and then, you know, once they start getting whacked by the Lakers, we can start speculating. But yeah, there's been a lot of names. The only thing I'd say is I'd like Van Gundy to come back just because I miss his post game news conferences after a loss, where it's just like he's the most depressed. Because you don't think of that anymore when you listen to him on air, because he's always highly energetic and he's interested. But, man, his press conferences used to be, so, Coach, what happened there blowing the 15-point lead in the last 5 minutes? We just quit making shots. And, you know, Tracy wasn't able to make those free throws. And I'm just so depressed that I think I'm going to kill myself. That was pretty much his press conferences. I bet you can find one of those on YouTube, a Van Gundy post-game press conference. Hey, we got to squeeze in a Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
Well, sometimes words, how dictionaries will add new words all the time that are now part of the lexicon. Guess what is now officially part of dictionary.com? You would like this.
It's a chic move.
It was an Iron Sheik
move,
later repurposed by The Rock.
Jabroni.
Jabroni is
now a real word.
It's a real word. And it's a noun. It says slang. A stupid, foolish, or contemptible person. Loser. She always has a comeback to own the trolls and jabronis on Twitter. Or shut your mouth, you dumb jabroni. So.
Well. We find something new every day.
Yeah.
New word in the lexicon. Good for them.
And good for them putting it in there, because now you can feel free to use it whenever you want. So that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Why is Jay Williams trending in Houston? Or in Texas.
I don't know.
All right. Quick break. It's the Blitz. Taylor McCarg up next. Don't go anywhere.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims. And you're listening to ESPN 97.5.